Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to talk about some things from the Bible that are probably on your mind because of the season. I'm sure you know by now that December the 25th is not the birthday of Jesus Christ. You've undoubtedly heard plenty of information either from your pastor or from something you've read. Perhaps you've heard it on the radio. December the 25th is a pagan holiday, and it was incorporated into the church just to Christianize some of the pagan practices as Roman Catholicism was expanding. Nevertheless, you know, a lot of Bible believers go ahead and take advantage of this opportunity to enjoy some time with the family and to exchange some gifts and things like that. And so the thoughts of Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2 and Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 are fresh on your mind. And using this as an opportunity then to refer to some of these passages in the Bible, let's talk today about the wise men from the East. There are some very interesting things in the Bible about these wise men from the East, and we want to consider those today. You'll find them in Matthew chapter 2. And they begin in verse 1, and we read through verse 12 about these wise men. You're probably very familiar with the story, so rather than read the passage and then begin to point out some things, we'll just point out each thing and refer to the verse in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, concerning that topic or that point about the wise men. First of all, and you would know this because I've already said they are the wise men from the East, they came from the East. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the East to Jerusalem." Well, that's interesting because the East covers a vast territory. Likely, these men came from the same place where Daniel had been. Because in the book of Daniel, we find numerous prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. In the book of Daniel, one of the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ is the prophecy of the 70 weeks. You might want to turn to Daniel chapter 9 if you can. If not, we'll refer to the passage for you. Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse 24, we begin the prophecy of the 70 weeks. Do you remember that? In that prophecy, basically, Daniel begins to understand and lays out for us these 70 weeks, and these weeks turn out to stand for years, and so you're dealing here with a 490-year period is what it's turning out to be. 70 weeks of 7 days each, okay? So that's 490 days, and each day stands for a year, similar to what happened when the spies went out to search the land. Their punishment was 1 year for each day. So the Jews stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay, in this particular prophecy, beginning in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, down to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which is the end of the chapter, there's reference made to Messiah the Prince. And there's reference made to Jerusalem. And there's reference made to Messiah being cut off. Now, our purpose in our study today is not to examine the time periods of Daniel chapter 9 to see exactly what's being done here and where everything falls. Suffice it to say this, that based upon this prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, the wise men could have estimated the approximate time of the Messiah's birth. And there's a reference here to Messiah being cut off. And if you map out the days and years and so forth, what happens is you come up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so estimating the approximate time of the Messiah's birth from this information would have been possible. You also want to remember that Daniel was in Babylon for the entire 70-year period of the captivity. And he ruled in very high positions under Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, kings by name. Belshazzar was actually the grandson. And under Darius, who is the Persian king that destroyed the Babylonian Empire. So Daniel's influence was widely known, and so was his God. And that's because of the dream. You remember back in Daniel chapter 2 when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and then he was ready to kill all the astrologers and the wise men and the magicians because they couldn't tell him his dream and therefore they couldn't tell him his interpretation. Remember that? Well, Daniel did because of the Lord. Remember what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There was an image in Daniel chapter 3 and they didn't bow down to the image. And Jesus Christ shows up in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar makes a proclamation that nobody can say anything bad about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because he changed the times and he changed the king's decree and command. Or remember the incident of Daniel in the lion's den? So there's a lot of stuff going on in the book of Daniel emphasizing the preeminence of God Almighty. The Lord was well known to the wise men and to the magicians and to the astrologers living there in Daniel's day. By the way, we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 2 now. Would you remember from now on, in case you didn't already know, these are wise men and not kings, okay? These are not the three kings from Orient are, okay? These are wise men. And just notice they came from the east, and that's interesting because that's where Daniel had been. And it makes perfect sense that they had exposure while Daniel was there to all of this information and then continued to pass it down from each generation of wise men that were in the east after Daniel's time there. So the wise men came from the east. Another thing to notice from Matthew chapter 2 is this. They followed a star. Of course, you remember that from tradition, and you probably know it from reading the Bible. But there's something interesting about the star. They followed a star. Matthew chapter 2, and look with me in verse 2. When they arrived to Herod, they said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Well, these men, these wise men, were either astrologers or they had been influenced by the astrologers that were common to their culture. And they were influenced by their ancestors' involvement with Daniel. In other words, this passing down from generation to generation of information concerning this great Messiah that was supposed to be born in Jerusalem, something to do with the God of Daniel. Now, if you'll go back to Daniel chapter 1, you'll remember that, or you'll see if you don't remember it, that when Nebuchadnezzar consulted with wise men in his day, astrologers were included. All right, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 19, the king communed with them, And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Hebrew names. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, that is Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. All right, notice, the king found Daniel in his wisdom to be 10 times better than the magicians. And so, you know, you probably know that the Greek word for these wise men is magi. That's where you get that magician, okay? Then the magicians and astrologers. Do you see? The king consulted with magicians and soothsayers and astrologers when the king sought counsel. Now, these astrologers, studying Daniel's God, must have known or been told about the prophecy from Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. All right, we're going to go back to Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, that's Balaam. And remember, he is instructed to curse Israel, but he can't. He keeps getting his prophecies from God, and God keeps telling the Midianites, Balak, the king of the Midianites, what's going to happen to the Jews. And in Numbers chapter 24, in verse 17, I'm in the middle of all this stuff with Balaam, but watch what he says. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come, watch it, a star out of Jacob and a scepter. Well, a scepter is what a ruler holds. It's what a king holds. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Notice the rising of this king is indicated by a star. There shall come a star out of Jacob. You see that? So those astrologers, now you know they're interested in stars. They're stargazers. So they're checking this stuff out, and they're very interested because Daniel has made these prophecies, and they're expecting a star, and they see this star. It's an unusual thing up in the sky that hadn't been there before. And that star starts moving toward Jerusalem, and they know the prophecy of Daniel 9 concerns Jerusalem. They start following that star. And when they get there, notice, here's the third thing. They come from the east first. They follow the star. But notice this. They looked for the king of the Jews. You see that? Look at verse 2 again in Matthew chapter 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Well, they got that because of the scepter. They know that this Messiah is Messiah the Prince. They know that he is the son of a king to reign as a king. They know that. And when they get there, they are looking. They know he's been born. That star has appeared. They are following, and they are looking for the king of the Jews. Isn't that something? There, you know, and I'll tell you something. I'm not with astrologers, okay? But there is something going on in the heavens that is replicated here on the earth. And we're going to compare some scripture right now. We're going to compare Isaiah 24:21 and Daniel chapter 10, verses 13 and 20, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and then 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We're going to compare those verses, and you're going to understand something by comparing those understandings, those verses, that the rise and fall of kingdoms on the earth can be, and I put this in quotations, seen among the hosts of heaven. In other words, these astrologers were clued into something, and they knew to be looking in the stars because there's something up there. Let's look at these passages now. Again, I don't need astrologers. I've got a Bible. The Bible tells me all that I need to know. It tells you all that you need to know. But these astrologers, these stargazers, they knew something was going on. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 24, verse 21. This passage is in the midst of the second Advent passages concerning the tribulation and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 21, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," that is the day of the coming of the Lord, "that the Lord shall punish two things. Number one, the host of the high ones that are on high, and secondly, the kings of the earth upon the earth." Notice, the Lord is going to punish the kings of the earth. We know that. We read those prophecies throughout the Old Testament and also in the book of Revelation. But he's going to punish the host of the high ones that are on high. That is something going on above your head in outer space. Okay? So there's two groups. There's something going on up there and then something going on down here. Let's go to Daniel chapter 10 and get more information. Daniel chapter 10. The angel comes to give Daniel an understanding in his vision, okay? And when he comes in Daniel chapter 10, we want verse 13, but we better read verse 12 for the context. Daniel chapter 10, look at verse 12. "Then said he unto me," that's the angel speaking to Daniel, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." In other words, Daniel had been praying for 3 weeks, and the angel said, "I was on my way." But, verse 13, "the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." Well, Persia is ruling in the earth as the world ruler, and Michael and this angel are fighting with the kings of Persia in outer space. Those hosts of the high ones on high, that stuff up in heaven. Look again in verse 20. The angel that is speaking to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 then says, "Knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee?" Question. "And now will I return," watch it, "to fight with the prince of Persia," because Persia is still ruling. "And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come." You know what kingdom came up after the Persian kingdom? That's right, Alexander the Great, the Greeks. And so what played out in heaven played out here in the earth. All right? Now look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, this one you're pretty familiar with. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 simply says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." Okay? "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So there's something going on above your head. Principalities, powers, rulers, spiritual wickedness in high places. As a matter of fact, in 2 Peter, I know I'm covering this rapidly, but you're getting the point. You can study it out on your own after the broadcast. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, when Jesus Christ comes, you know what we're to look for? The day star. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." That's the scripture. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light." Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the Bible is light. "That shineth in a dark place until the day dawn," that's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, "and the day star arise in your hearts." So there's something going on in the heavens that is replicated by the kings that are here on the earth. And the astrologers knew that, you see. They understood the rise and fall of kingdoms on earth could be seen, if you will, among the host of heaven. And so these wise men knew that the arrival of Jesus' star had to signify the arrival of the king. And sure enough, the prophecy concerning the place of his birth in Bethlehem indicates that he was born to rule in Israel. So you and I, we just need prophecy from the scripture, and that tells us all we need to know. But notice in Matthew chapter 2 verse 3, Herod was troubled, Jerusalem was troubled, So they make an inquiry where Christ should be born in verse 4. And verse 5, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Verse 6, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, capital G, that shall rule my people Israel. The governor that rules my people Israel is Jesus Christ, and he is born a king. And those astrologers knew to look for that. That's amazing. All right, not only that, but in Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, we notice something else about the wise men. They came from the east. They followed a star. They were looking for the king of the Jews. And they responded, when they found him, they responded correctly. Matthew chapter 2, look, verse 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. See, that's the correct response. Herod and Jerusalem gave the wrong response. They were troubled. You see that? And then in verse 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. We need to just recognize this is not the babe lying in a manger. Those nativity scenes are not correct. They didn't get there right after he was born. He was nearly 2 years old. You know that because that's what Herod executed in Bethlehem. He was a young child by this time, and he's not in a stable in a manger. He's in a house, okay? And watch this. They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. So they did not worship his mother. That's a perverted theology that came up through Catholicism and really dates back way even before the birth of Christ with the mother and child, that Madonna thing that dates way back into the Babylonian history, okay? So they responded correctly. They didn't respond like their Babylonian history of the Madonna worshiping both as deity. They worshiped him. That is so vital to see in this great occurrence here. Okay, let's keep going. The next thing they did is they presented him with gifts. And boy, you've heard a lot of preaching on that, I'm sure. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time except just to give you some interesting connections, okay? Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. If you simply take your concordance and look up gold and look up frankincense and look up myrrh where it shows up in the Bible, then you're going to see some things interesting. One really interesting thing is they opened their treasures, and you know what the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. They were worshiping this young child. And they gave him these three gifts, gold. Gold simply signifies the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God manifest in the flesh. Everything in the tabernacle was made of gold, or covered in gold, because God would meet them there. All right, frankincense shows up, but typically it shows up in connection with the perfume in the tabernacle or with the bread in the tabernacle or the offerings of bread in the tabernacle, signifying the holiness of Jesus Christ and his arrival as the bread of life. And he even talks about himself as the bread of life in John chapter 6. And then they give him myrrh, signifying his rejection by Israel. Interestingly, Joseph in the Old Testament is the greatest type of Jesus Christ in the Bible. The men that his brother sold him to were Ishmaelites, and they were selling spices, one of which was myrrh. They had rejected Joseph, just like Israel rejected Jesus Christ on his first coming. And then the myrrh stands for his death. It was offered to him. He didn't drink it. He was wrapped in it by Joseph of Arimathea, and eventually he is accepted by Israel, and you find that in Genesis 43, the brothers took myrrh to Joseph when they went back the second time. Also, in the Song of Solomon, the woman finds her husband, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, in an association with myrrh in the first chapter. That's just kind of a brief summary. Just, you've probably heard some other things about the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, but basically it's his deity, his holiness, his arrival as the bread of life, his rejection by Israel, his death for them, and his eventual acceptance by them. So, very interesting. The last thing we'll say about the wise men from the east is they came from the east, they followed a star, they looked for the king of the Jews, they responded correctly, they presented him with gifts, and then this, they followed God home. In verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. In other words, they were warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod. This is a remarkable testimony to the Lord's providential care of these men. You know what? I won't be surprised if we find them in eternity. Okay? So, let's just give a little application and we'll close. You and I don't have to follow a star today because you and I have the Scriptures. But like these wise men, if you are not saved, you should seek the Lord. And when you find Him, you should respond correctly by worshiping Him. You should receive Him with joy. You should not worship His mother. And you should present Him your treasure and follow Him home. In other words, another way. Before you get saved, you're on your way to hell. When you get saved, you follow the Lord another way and end up in heaven instead of ending up in hell. Fabulous passage of Scripture. I'm sitting here with a big smile on my face as I tell you these wonderful things about the wise men, because it's amazing to me that these men, that many years after Daniel, would hold on to, believe, and follow those prophecies until they found the King. I really wish today that all this overshadowing of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ by this commercialization would be subdued, where men would seriously consider the Scriptures and hold on to what the Bible says until they find their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He said in John chapter 6 or John chapter 5, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." I pray to God you'll search. I pray to God you'll find Him. And I pray to God when you do, you'll worship Him, because He is certainly worthy of your praise.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.